Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and we're continuing on the message, a piece of literature that the Lord gave me several years ago. It's called The Secret of How to Defend Your Mind. This is part two. And there's not too much of that message left, and so in the event that we have some more time, we'll start another piece of literature that the Lord gave me, which is called Accepting the Discipline of the Holy Spirit. How to Accept the Discipline of the Holy Spirit. Everyone has to discipline themselves to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. It's the same thing as if you like to stay up at late at night, but you have to discipline yourself to go to sleep at night in order to get up in the morning and be fresh and be and do whatever it is that you're going to do. We have to discipline ourselves to go to school. We have to discipline ourselves to go to work. So we also have to discipline ourselves. If these things are important, then how much more important is it for us to discipline ourselves to do the things that the Lord tells us to do? We say, well, we just can't, we're weak. Well, you get up, you discipline yourself to learn how to drive a car. You discipline yourself to take showers or baths. You discipline yourself to know how to get dressed. You discipline yourself to go to school and go to universities or colleges or whatever and to learn the type of job that you do. And if that's more important to you than disciplining yourself to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit, which is the Word of God, to do what the Word of God says, well, you're not going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. It's just that easy. So this is a very important piece of literature for you to hear. It's a very strong message, and it is the truth. It's the way to heaven, the truth of how to get to heaven, and it is your very eternal life. And so you have to listen up. If these things are important to you, and the Lord knows whether getting into heaven is important to you or not. We had a young man in this church over here. We're in a small town. Sometimes I'm in Los Angeles. Sometimes I'm in a fairly good-sized city. Sometimes New York, and sometimes in a little small town. And one of the boys from Fort Smith said, well, I want to move down over to this place. And one of the other young men said, why? He said, because it's cool. And he said, well, what's cool about this place? You know, what is really the people that are in the world really thought I was cool because I did a lot of things what the world thinks is cool. I was in the record industry, which I really don't think, once you graduate and accelerate to eternal life, you look back at that and you see that that isn't cool at all. And the motion picture industry and all the other different things that I've done in my life. And also my dad was, in 47 different motion pictures, and he was the dance coach for 20th Century Fox and Todd Rudolph, Valentino, Mae Murray, Pola Negra, Gloria Swanson, and dozens of other superstars, and had dance studios across the nation. And a lot of the world thought that was cool. But to me, cool today is being where the Lord, the Almighty God, wants you to be. If it's in a small town, or it's by the little river Kidron, and if you have to wait for a bird to come and feed you, and the Lord says to do that, well, then that's the place to be. You have to just discipline yourself to be happy and believe that it's cool to do what the Lord says. Amen?
Amen.
Because if you think cool is being in the world, and in the end you wind up in the pit of hell, well, then that ain't cool. Okay, kids? All right?
Amen.
Cool is doing what the Lord says what you're supposed to do, because that's how you get into the kingdom of heaven, which is extremely cool. hell in the lake of fire is very hot, and that ain't cool. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's all go up to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint this service. We know those of us that are born again of the Spirit and washed in the precious blood of Jesus and filled with the Holy Spirit, we know that we have the inward anointing, but now with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's the outward anointing that gives us the ability to minister the Word of God. And that's, Father, what, and all of us should be praying, that's what we want you to do, Father, because cool is hearing from you, because that's how we're going to stay cool eternally, is to listen to every word that proceeds from the mouth of the living God. Man does not live by bread or fame or glory or any other thing in this world, or bread alone, bread that's necessary for our temporal body. But we live immortally by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the living God. And there isn't anything in this entire world that's cool, because what's cool? Worrying for people that are not saved, they worry about being blown up by terrorists, by eaten up with diseases, being poisoned by all the contamination in food, and all the warnings of these different bird flus and mad cow disease. What's cool about this world? Everything that I know, and the Lord tells me that is cool, is the kingdom of God, where we don't have all these worries, or you don't have unjust decisions in courtrooms and people that are telling you that you can't worship God according to the dictate of your heart. You have to say Merry Holidays instead of Merry Christmas. I mean, what kind of a dictatorship is this if it isn't Satan? This is Satan's dictatorship that is telling this. And people say, well, we're offended at the name of Christ. Well, I'm offended with you. And so we're supposed to be able to worship according to the dictates of our heart, according to the U.S. Constitution, and according to the Bible. It doesn't make any difference if they make it illegal to serve the Lord and preach the gospel. We ought to listen to God more than we should listen to man, because if we listen to man, we're surely going to wind up in the lake of fire with all those other people that are making up these rules that you can't worship the Lord. And so, Father, we ask that you anoint outwardly this service, that you open up the dark, blind minds of the people out there in the world, and that you open up their hearts and their spirits to receive that which you have anointed. You've told us, you've written about in your word, so that receive your word. Now, many people see, but there's many more that have no vision. Seeing is one thing, but having a vision of that which is to be. People need to have a vision of what hell looks like, and have to have a vision of what heaven is like, looks like, because without this vision, the people perish, your word says, Father. We have to visualize. We can see all the worldly things that are going on, but we have to visualize the spiritual realm, the realm that you say surely exists. And I know that there's many people that I have seen you before my very eyes, wide open, wide awake. And I know that you exist, and I've seen visions of heaven and hell, and I've heard the moans and the groans of the people there, Father. And I know that it exists. And I pray that in this message, Father, that you'll give everyone that hears it a vision, not just to see with their eyes. Yeah, people can be blind with their regular eyes, the eyes that are their carnal eyes. But if they're visionaries, if they see, they visualize what's in this world, if they can clearly see the terribleness of this world, the sinfulness of it, and the hell and the lake of fire that's waiting those that are that partake in this world and never repent of it. And Lord, and that those that they have, we pray that they have a vision of the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the eyes that not only see, but they see the vision. They see the things that you explain. They clearly see them, and they know them, and they believe them. Because to read your word is one thing, but to believe it, just be able to visualize it, and to be able to visualize it enough, see it, visualize it enough to where they actually do what you say for their own good. They discipline themselves to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God. Lord, we pray that by this, whatever you say through me right now, that it will win millions, yea, billions of souls, and that it will cause the entire church to be stronger and more powerful, and that it will be lifted up, and that your word tells us to be winners of souls, and if we don't win souls, then we're likened in your word to be like trees without fruit. And there's a lot of people that think they're winning souls, but they're bringing them into heresy. And this heresy, the fallacy of it, the twisting of the Word of God, the preaching of the wrong and false doctrine causes people's souls to go to hell and into the lake of fire eternally. And so we pray, Lord, that all those that are novices will stop teaching, and all those that are not totally furnished, armed and armored with the Word of God, will stop their foolishness. They can give their testimonies. And we pray, Lord, that they'll stop teaching, because these things are so false, it's unbelievable. Lord, you know the woman in my own church that was teaching people that God gives people their portion out in the world to that you give them a portion that they can be models, and that they could be gutter rats and so on. Lord, you don't do that. And I want everybody in our church to know that. You give the portion. You tell everybody that you've given everybody the portion of faith. So everybody has the portion of faith. Nobody has more or less. But very few take that portion of faith and come into your realm and let you bless them as you do everyone that comes into the realm with you, the spiritual realm with you, and does what you say. You say, I love you if, and you are my disciple, and I love you if you do everything that I say. But if you don't, the Lord tells us that you're none of his. And so that may offend you. And the Lord tells you not to be offended with his word, because that's the worst thing you could ever do, is to be offended with the instruction that there is to enter into the kingdom of God. Anybody that is that foolish is not going to be able to enter those pearly gates in the kingdom of heaven. So I beseech every one of you to receive, Lord, that you'll open the eyes, these blind eyes of everyone in the world, and that you'll give them the vision. That they won't just see, but they have the vision of heaven, and they have the vision of hell, and that they'll begin getting busy disciplining themselves to get into that Bible, to listen to gospel every day if they can't see, and to read and have people read to them and dig in, because we're standing right at the threshold of your coming back to earth again. And when you do, and there's so many people, Father, that are teaching people that we're going to be raptured out of the tribulations, and they twist the scriptures, and people that don't know the scriptures, they just believe it. But you said that you're going to come and get your church immediately after the tribulations. Immediately after the tribulations, then you'll be coming back. And you also tell us that these are those that went through the tribulations. And this false prophets are trying to make it look like you're going to do loads. You're going to come and take some of them away, and then you're going to come back and get some other ones, and it'll be some saved during the tribulations. And all these fakers, they think they're going to be taken out of the tribulations. False doctrine. And that false doctrine will destroy your soul because you won't prepare for the tribulations. Don't these maniacs, Father, know that they're in tribulations already? And things are not going to get any better. They're preaching that Mother Nature is doing all these things to them when you plainly state that you're going to send all these plagues, that you're going to send all these diseases, and you even in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, state that you're going to destroy people with animals. And we see all these horrible diseases that are coming forth from animals. The mad cow disease and the bird flu disease and the monkey disease, they say that comes from the monkey, AIDS, and came from Africa, and the parakeets, and Ebola, all kinds of things that come from animals, even mosquitoes causing malaria, and it's happening right before their very eyes. Lord, open them and give them the vision to get right with you so they can be in heaven and stay completely out of the pit of hell, the lake of fire. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, so let's begin. Well, you have letters here?
Yes.
Okay, where's the first one from?
From Los Angeles, California.
Okay, let's hear it.
To Tony Alamo, greetings to my dad in Christ.
Oh, this must be one of the members of the church, amen?
Amen.
And why they call me their dad is the same reason they call the Apostle Paul, that he had begot them or fathered them into the spiritual realm. And so it must be that he means that my preaching got him into the kingdom of heaven. But it wasn't really me, it was the Spirit of the Lord preaching through teaching and vision, giving him the vision of the kingdom of heaven and hell through me. So I don't take any of the credit for that. If he wants to call me dad, that's okay. All right, because I'm old enough to be his dad for sure. All right, then what?
This is simply a letter to say thank you for staying strong in the Lord with power and being a prophet that deserves double honor. Before you received salvation, you made millions upon millions of dollars in showbiz and fitness, along with many other promotions that brought wealth and success. For a rich man to make it into the kingdom of heaven is like a rope going through the eye of a needle. Thank you, Tony Alamo, for beating those odds by the power and spirit of the Almighty God.
Right, the King James Version says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. But the Aramaic, which Jesus spoke, that Bible, if you get it, by Reverend Lampsa, shows that the actual word was rope. It's easier for a rope to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But nevertheless, with God, all things are possible. In other words, if you'll just do what the Lord says is possible. At that time that the Lord came and got me, I owned a Beatles album, and I was about ready to release it because I knew I was going to make a few pennies out of it, all right? I've been told it's worth a few coins, all right? And I still have it. I never put it up because the Lord wanted me to show the world that I'm not in the ministry for money. And if that isn't a good sign, Pete, I've been to prison on false charges of IRS fraud for the gospel's sake, and Christ was put in prison on fraud, and so was Paul. All the prophets and disciples were also. So those of us that have been in prison for the gospel, we belong to a very exclusive club. We're a different kind of society than the rest of the Christians, all right? We've gone, through the fire for the gospel, and I'm not telling you that you have to go through that kind of fire. Hopefully you won't, but if you do, don't squawk, because the Lord puts you through fire in order to make you strong. Just like when God causes a storm. He talks about a storm, you know, those that build their house on a rock. Oh, well, the storm comes and the winds blow. And all types of violent things happen, but you still stand. He likens that unto persecution, but somebody that doesn't build their life on the gospel, he likens that as to a man that builds his house on sandy soil, like on sand, so that when the persecutions arise, when you get put in prison on false charges, you don't sit there and bite your fingernails and cry and weep, or roll into a fetal ball and get under the couch and have the marshals pick you up, and you're crying and weeping in front of everybody like a sick, real sick, evil spirit, but yet you smile going through it, because the prophets before you were persecuted in the very same manner. And that's what I like to do. I like to, you know, I would never let the devil see me crying. All right? I just can't see that. I can't see it. And if the Lord says for me to rejoice when this happens unto me, I do. All right? And I may have had certain periods of times when I was crying out to God with all my heart and soul, and I do. I had to have those moments, and I've, been in some very, very tight situations, but when I was, I knew the Lord was with me. And so really, when you're born again of the Spirit and you just don't really worry about what's going to happen to you, because you know the Lord is with you, you just realize that maybe your wife is not with you, your friends are no longer with you, you're standing out there all alone. But you're not alone, because you know the Lord is with you. And I know that your wife is going to fail you, your husband is going to fail you. There's going to be people in this world that you think are your friends, that maybe did good for you a year or two ago, and you go to them and they say, they can't help you right now. There's no one can help you. And the Lord will allow you to be able to see that, so that you can know that really there isn't anyone in this entire universe that you can trust and that can help you but the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Mm-hmm. Because you get very little help from human beings. But knowing that and seeing a lot of times the people that surround me, and even people, when I went to prison, I had a 6-year sentence on false charges for the gospel's sake, and I was thankful, you know, because now I get to be in that exclusive club, you know, of the jailbirds, the jailbird of the Lord club. Amen? Amen. And so I appreciate that, Lord, that you've allowed me to go through the suffering. I know some of the disciples, when they were thrown in jail and beaten for the gospel, they went skipping and praising and thanking the Lord down the road when they were let out, because they were so happy that they were accounted worthy to be persecuted for the Lord's sake. Amen?
Amen.
And that's the way I feel too. And I see the vision of heaven, and I see the vision of hell. I've seen those visions physically with my eyes in the spiritual realm. And God showed those visions to me, and I saw him just for sure it was him. And I've seen many other visions and signs and wonders, and so I can reckon the Lord showed me those things, because I probably would have caved in. I might have, you know. But those visions, I never can forget them. Because when the Lord showed me those visions and talked to me audibly, it frightened me so much that I never want to be on his wrong side. I always want to be a servant of the Lord, because I know that he exists. And I know that when I read, you know, he talked to me audibly, and I feel the powerful spirit of him when he talks to me. And when I read the Bible, the same Spirit comes down upon me as it was when he was talking to me. Every time he talks to me, it's the same Spirit that's in the Bible, so therefore I know that the Bible is the truth. And it doesn't matter to me how many of these antichrist fatherless children. Now, Jesus calls the fatherless children bastards. A bastard, that's not a dirty word. That just means a person that doesn't have a father. So all these ungodly bastards that say the Bible isn't true, I was an ungodly bastard one time. I didn't have God for my father, so I feel sorry for all the ungodly bastards in the world. And that's why I have, compassion. That's why I preach the gospel to them. Not because I hate them, the ungodly bastards, but it's because I want you to understand that as blind as I was, that maybe you'll be able to see the light as the Lord showed me. I pray that God will give you visions also as he did me. But if he doesn't, the Bible, if you read that, the Bible says that faith comes to you by hearing, and hearing by the word. And that means if you read the scriptures and you hear what the Spirit is saying into your spirit, then you've got a chance, mon. You've got a chance to be saved. Now, I'm not like an ordinary preacher. I won't say, "Dearly beloved, we are gathered here together in the presence of the Holy Father." And so, no, that isn't the way it is. God knows the way I am, and he likes the way I am. And I don't see any of the other prophets in the Bible talking that way either. That's all put on stuff that people learn in theological seminaries. Me, I'm not really shooting from the hip. I'm coming to you straight on. I'm telling you really what the Bible says. And maybe you don't like it because you're so used to hearing that vanilla, strawberry-flavored type gospel or cherry, whatever flavor you like. A lot of people only go to the churches that they like the way they preach. If they're fornicators, they go to a church where the pastor is a fornicator. Or if they're homosexuals, see them all gathered together with homosexual pastors. But they're not of the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
Or adulterers or liars. You see them all gathering together. Or whoremongers. Or people that are thieves, and they love to go to those kind of churches because those kind of churches don't condemn them. But this church condemns all sin. God condemns sin, and so therefore, who am I to change the gospel? Amen?
Amen.
Who am I to tell you otherwise? So I'm telling you straight from the Bible. Jesus says, "You vipers," he was telling these religious people. He said, they're the most dangerous ones. They're the ones that had him put to death. You got to watch out for these religious orders. Amen?
Amen?
Because they even put the Son of God, God himself, in the flesh to death. But they couldn't keep him down. He rose up from the dead. Amen?
Amen.
And he's alive forevermore now, and he's going to judge every single one of them. So, I'm just saying, I understand you blind people out there, because I was as blind spiritually, had no vision whatsoever until God gave those visions to me in signs, and that's what made me put down the Beatles album, and all the other different things that I had out in the world. I mean, all kinds of masters of extremely good artists. I did the promotion for... I was the one that started the 20 original hits you can't buy in the store, you got to call on the phone. And KTEL Records copied my method of selling records. And then after that, Time Life Warner, you see them on television all the time advertising the way I did. But they're selling 144 records at one time instead of 20, because they get good deals so far as royalties are. They probably pay 0.25% royalties for publishing, and the same thing for writers. They get their masters a lot more reasonable than I do, and a lot of the people that they're pushing are on their label, and they make deals, labels with one another, to where it's very easy for them to acquire masters and sell more records because they don't have to pay as many royalties as I did. Back then we had to pay a penny for a writer and a penny for the publisher. Of course, I don't believe that many of you people know what I'm talking about, and I don't really care to talk about it that much, but I'm just saying they copied what I was doing. I did the promotion for Sonny and Cher and all those things, and I pretty much, according to in the carnal world, I had it made, but I was spiritually blind, and I understand how you people that have billions of dollars and multis and millions of dollars think you're cool. But believe me, you are blind. I used to see the people out on the streets, you know, with at Christmas time the Salvation Army ringing the little bells and standing there freezing themselves half to death in New York. And they had, some of them had little trios of trumpets and stuff. They had a little band. And it was like Merry Christmas type music, you know, and I thought that was nice, but I thought, poor dudes, man, you know, they're never going to be able to enjoy the kind of life I have. I'm driving by in a very comfortable Cadillac, and I lived in half a dozen different apartments in New York City. I'd go out at night to Basin Street East, the Copa, and to some of the jazz places down in the Village, and all over the place, Chili's, the 21 Club to eat and so on, and, you know, fraternize with the boys. And I just was, couldn't see anything but that kind of a life. And that's why God just busted through the darkness unto me. And to me, money was filth. When I found that there was God, that Beatles album looked like a wart to me. Unwanted wart, like, say, for instance, on the tip of your nose. And nobody wants a wart on their nose. Well, you know, the kind of life that you're living right now, if you know, I don't care how many billions or millions you got, you're going to have to face God, man. You know, you're going to have to stand up before Him whether you like it or not. Cash doesn't mean anything up there. Credit doesn't mean anything. Only if you have the vision and you, you know, seek the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and only if you will do everything that you find out that He wants you to do. And you're not going to be able to do that unless you get born again of the Spirit. You say, well, I'm a fag. I'm a homosexual. Well, that's why you need to be born again. Because when you were first born, you said, I was born that way. Well, then get born again of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God comes into you, and you have the power to not be that way anymore. Amen? Because that's a demon possession. Epilepsy is a demon possession. If you'll let the Spirit of the Lord into you, that's the power that holds the whole universe up. And don't you think that it can cast that evil spirit out of you? Or if you have a couple of thousand evil spirits in you, the power of God is so powerful that He can throw that out of you and nothing flat, and make you know that those billions or millions or whatever you got, and the six penthouses or whatever you got, and the yacht and the airplane and the ability to go to Monte Carlo and all over the place, Cuba, or, you know, those people used to go there to gamble, or to Vegas, you know, and to walk around like you're really a Gunzamahoff, that you're really something. But, you know, I went through all that. But then the Lord came 41 years ago and opened my eyes and made me a visionary. That made me know that, God, time goes by fast. These last four, I was 30 years old. I'm 71 now. And I'm not an old fogey, man. I'm just as hip today, more hip today than I ever was before, because I'm hip to the world. I mean, that's nothing. I mean, that's like kids play. So you played the game and you made a few bucks, or a lot of bucks, or whatever you think. But those bucks are not going to be able to buy you into heaven. And I don't care how many good deeds you do, the Bible says they're like filthy rags. So you could have billions of dollars and give them to these different foundations, and the Lord doesn't even like those foundations. He's going to condemn you for giving them to demonic-type organizations. So you have to channel what you got in the right direction. give it to ministries that are serving the Lord. And, you know, let your money do something for God while you're still alive, because, you know, as blind as you are, you don't realize this, but you think that maybe your kids, I thought I was going to live forever too. But the Lord has shown me, man, there's a day coming when you're going to die. And that spirit that's inside that miserable body of yours is going to go flying up before God, and you're going to stand there, and he's going to say, where's the souls that you should have won? Why did you hear the gospel? You've heard Tony and other people preach the gospel to you, and you didn't do anything with it. I guess you must have thought that they were liars. You know, they give up all the things that they had and went to prisons and took all kinds of false accusations and everything for my sake. Instead of going back into the world tried to discourage them by character assassinating them, putting them in jails and prisons and beating them and everything else and firing guns at them and threatening their lives, and they still carried out that gospel, the cross. You knew all these, you heard all these things, but I guess you thought it was a big lie that they had lost their senses and that you were smart, just like Tony thought he was smart too when these people were out there ringing the little bells and stuff. When the Spirit of the Lord talked to me in that office in Beverly Hills, I realized that those guys were the smarties, and I was stupid thinking that riding around in a stinking nice car and having a wad of money in my pocket and in the bank and stashed in these different, I call them submarines, these safety deposit vaults in different banks, because I didn't trust the banks, and I had money stashed here and there out in the world. Now the money that we get goes right into the gospel. We're all over the world now, and we're on radio broadcasts everywhere. If you call our number, or if you email us or fax us, we can tell you what radio station we're on in the area where you're at. We're going to go on television again. We were on television 10 years in a row, and that we don't know how many souls we won out there, but really we are a street ministry too. We like to go out on the street with the pieces of literature that the Lord has given me, and we like to go out there face to face, man to man, with people and tell them so they can look into our faces or our eyes, and they can feel, you know, that what we're saying is the truth. And we can show them evidence of that. When you come into our services, we have churches all over the world now. And we're opening more and more churches all the time. So I understand where you're coming from, guys and girls out there, those of you that think you've got it made. You're working your head off for nothing, because the money that you're making, you're going to leave it to a bunch of nobodies, fools, and suckers that are going to hell just like you will if you don't repent. So repent and listen to the words. Okay, and so let's finish off this letter here. Sometimes, you know, I hear the different points in the letter, and I just have to go off on another direction here to kind of explain what all this is all about. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody that ever wants to hear my Beatles album, I'll be glad to show it to you. The government wanted to grab it, but I think they got one of the master tapes, you know, but I still have one too. The government wanted to get in the record business, you know. They wanted to take everything I had and put that Beatles album out. And for all I know, maybe they did, I don't know. But they took everything I had, trying to discourage. They took everything I had and everybody in the church had. But we're back on top now. I don't have anything in the church name anymore. Everybody has their own houses and everything, and I made sure that they do. And so, because this is the Antichrist, it's an Antichrist government, and I feel sorry for those guys too. I preach the gospel and take all these hits from these evil people, and just keep smiling all the time to show them that there is a power greater than them. Amen?
Amen.
If little old me, a little kid from a little guy from Windham, Montana, can stand up against the world government, then if you're such a hot shot, if you're such a big shot, why can't you, right? Big man, big woman. You know, it takes a real man to be a in the ministry. I mean, really in the ministry. I'm not talking about being in religion. Religion can't save your soul. Religion, according to the word of God, is of the devil, but so is of the Lord. Okay, let's go on with the letter here.
Thank you, Tony Ulamo, for beating those odds by the power and the Spirit of the Almighty God so that millions of souls could be saved. After 41 years, your zeal to get the Word of God to the world can't be matched. Your strength, kindness, and character is a powerful example of Jesus Christ. Your newsletters and message tapes are straight from the throne of God. Your testimony alone saved me and many others. Always your son in Christ, Michael. From Los Angeles.
Well, praise the Lord. Michael, thank you very much. I can tell that the Lord got a hold of you. I've heard reports on you that you're doing a very good job there at the church in Los Angeles. People go to the church in Los Angeles and meet Michael. He's a young brother. Gosh, I don't know. I don't think he's more than in his 20s or 30s, something like that, is he? I don't know. Nobody knows. We don't pay attention to that. What else?
Next letter is from Uganda, Africa.
Okay, let's hear it.
Dear Pastor Lama, with great pleasure I greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus. May God bless you in your ministry of winning souls for Jesus Christ all over the nations. We thank you for considering us. We are thankful because we received the newsletters, literature, holy Bibles, and other Christian tracts. I'm glad to inform you that people are thirsty and hungry for your words. All were distributed fully, only the Bibles were not enough. Even Muslims have gotten saved due to your messages and testimonies all over the world. This ministry loves you, and we do pray for you. Regarding the letter we received, we really need Alamo t-shirts and sweatshirts. We therefore request for white and black in all sizes. We shall be grateful if our request is granted. God bless you. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Yours, Seymour. From Kosis, Uganda, Africa.
Well, praise the Lord. Yes, we give t-shirts and sweatshirts away. It has the Tony Ulamo Christian Ministries logo on it, and then on the front and then on the back as well. We give it to people that are distributors that go out on the streets with the literature. And people that are not even distributors, they love that. It's because I... designed the clothing for a lot of superstars, Larry Hagman for the whole TV show Dallas, and for Dolly Parton, and all the country west, most of the country western stars and rock and roll stars and everybody. And the Lord allowed me to do that so that they could come in, or that I could be familiar with them and witness them, even groups like Cinderella and Chicago and Michael Jackson and Elvis Presley and the Beatles. I've done things for all those people, and I got to be real good. Of course, I knew Elvis before I started doing clothes for him, before I was ever saved, and Johnny Rivers and people like that, all kinds of people. I know thousands of people in the industry. But now, are we ready to continue secret of how to defend your mind? We have to defend our mind because the mind is the battleground. Of course, Satan is attacking it all the time. And if your mind is strictly on the Lord, that means the Word of God, that means your mind is full, is armed, totally armored with the Word of God so that Satan can't get in. Now, you know, a lot of people, even when they're reproved and rebuked, they start thinking of, they shouldn't have talked to me that way, or they shouldn't have done that, and they start thinking carnally with their carnal mind instead of receiving what the Spirit is saying unto them, receiving the discipline of the Holy Spirit. And then they start feeling sorry for themselves, and they get back out on the skids. But you got to realize, all you people out there, and you, sunshine, that the Lord commands me to reprove people and to rebuke them when they're doing wrong. And the Word of God says that the reproof of the Word of the Lord is the way to to eternal life. The reproof of the word of the Lord. In other words, even if you've read the Bible 1,000 times, you still have to keep reading it because your mind has to be, it's just like if you filled your automobile 1,000 times and you run it every day 1,000 days, you still have to keep putting gas in it, don't you?
Amen.
Or I don't care how good that car is, it's not going to run. Amen?
Amen.
And so the Word of God is the fuel, the gasoline for a Christian. It's the oil and the gas and everything that causes you to run and stay strong every day and to be able to run. And we have, don't stop running. Somebody was telling me that there was some people out in Palm Springs that they struck it rich. All of a sudden that property got so expensive that they became multimillionaires. And they buy a Cadillac, and they didn't have money all their life, so they didn't realize, how to use it. And so their Cadillac had run out of gas, and they'd get out, and some of them were Indians, and I'm part Indian, I think, a little bit of me, but they'd say, no good, and they'd walk away from it. No good. And, yeah, and you're no good either if you run out of the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
You can't just stay parked because somebody will come over there with a 5-gallon tank of gas and throw it in there and say, well, somebody left it here. I'm going to take it, right?
Amen.
And you say, well, if it's no good, can I have it? And they say, no good. Go ahead, you take it. Okay, here, sign the pink. Okay? All right, so what else?
Spiritual activities. Most Christians do not know the difference between the activities of the devil's evil spirits and God's Holy Spirit. Christians have unconsciously permitted Satan's evil spirits to re-enter and reoccupy their minds. This is a true statement about the regenerated and unregenerated human mind. It is constantly under attack by Satan's evil spirits. Our regenerated wills and our spirits are like castles which evil spirits long to recapture. The open field where the battle is waged between God and Satan is the mind of man. The castle is the temple of God, God's Spirit living in regenerated spirits. The mind of man is supposed to be the Lord's castle or stronghold, not the castle or the stronghold of the devil. Fighting. Paul begins by telling us of a war. He goes on to tell us where the war is waged and why the war is being fought. The war is between God and Satan for the mind. That war is being fought in the minds and for the minds of mankind, and this passage has to do with the mind of the regenerated man. The Apostle Paul warns born-again believers, quote, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world, but have divine spiritual power to destroy strongholds by the divine power located in God's Word. We destroy every proud obstacle to the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and imagination to make it obedient to Christ."
Yeah, if people hear this word and they just get sad, you'd think that if a person is being shown how to enter into the kingdom of heaven, is shown the straight and narrow path, that they get happy. But there's some people that you preach this to, and they get sadder and sadder and sadder. It's just that they just think it's horrible to hear the way, the truth, and the life. And those are the most miserable people on the earth. They're never happy. They never can get happy. But to me, I enjoy the Word of God, and I'm so happy. It doesn't matter what happens to me. Hell and high water can come, and I'm still happy. Amen?
Amen.
So, let the good times roll. Okay? Okay, go ahead.
That was 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5 in the original Greek. We who are regenerated are the only ones having the power of God's life and spirit living in us, which enables us to demolish or cast down all evil imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every evil thought to the obedience of Christ, the Word of God, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5.
Yeah, one of the most dangerous things is when people have been in the ministry for 10, 15, 20 years, they get to thinking that they know it all and that they don't have to walk the straight and narrow anymore. That is the most dangerous time, when they think that they don't have to do what the Lord says, that they don't have to walk in the Spirit, that they don't have to read the Bible anymore, that they got it made. And they start getting haughty, and they stop listening to those that have the rule over them. And the Bible says that He does have rulers here in this world. They're not of this world. But people have to pay attention, they say, to the different rulers of this world, or else you'll go to jail. They have to pay attention to them. It doesn't mean that us, those of us that have the vision, can't tell them what they're doing wrong, but there are certain speeding laws and laws about rape and all the other things that you can't do in this world. You have to pay attention to them. And you do have to pay attention to the Lord. And one of the most dangerous times when people start falling away, some of them fall away right away because they're offended at the Word of God. But some people, they start getting it into their heads that they don't need to have any rulership any longer, that they don't have to listen to messages anymore. And they start, they don't have to get up and go to start putting gas in their tank every day in their spirit so that they can stand strong. They just get sad when they hear that they have to continue on. Only those who continue to the end shall be saved, saith the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Only. You could be saved and do real good for 20 years or 30 or 40 or 50 years. And Paul said that, you know, even if he didn't continue going on, doing what the Lord tells him to do, that he would go to hell too. So all the things that you've done, the book of Ezekiel tells you the same thing. He said, if you do good and then you start going back, you start not doing good anymore, all the good that you've done is completely erased. I will not remember it, the Lord says. And all, it's even worse for you, because then all the evil that you did before is on you and a lot more. It's so evil. One of the most evil things that you could do is start plowing or start serving the Lord and then turn back into the world. That is putting God Christ out to open shame and trampling His blood underfoot. And you are blessed. That is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And accounting the Lord, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, is an unclean and unholy thing. You are the worst kind of fatherless child, quote, bastard, unquote, that there ever could be. There's a hotter place in hell for people like you. Okay, then what?
We must know the Word of God so well that we know when something from the devil is coming at us to recapture our minds, which would destroy our eternal souls.
Anyone putting father, mother, sister, brother, son, or daughter before the Lord is not worthy of Him. Amen?
Amen.
And anyone that thinks that wherever God puts you is uncool, you're not worthy of the Lord either. You better wake up, son. You better wake up, girl. And you little girls that are in churches that are making, putting makeup all over your face where you look like a raccoon, and you're only young, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 years old, wearing spike heels 3 inches tall and trying to act like a worldly woman, you better wake up, little girl, because you haven't, you're not cool. You're very stupid. The Lord says to not do that, okay, to dress up in the apparel of a woman that is of the Lord. Okay, now continue on.
We can pull these evil thoughts and imaginations down as Christ did on the Mount of Temptation by countering all His words with the Word of God. Paul is saying...
All of Satan's words with the Word of God. Then what else?
Paul is saying in so many words that man's thoughts, reasonings, and arguments are the same as Satan's strongholds in the mind. Paul, by the Holy Spirit, tells us that man's mind is held by the enemy of man, the devil. Therefore, the mind of man needs to be broken into by the Spirit, the Word of God. We who are the ministers of God are the vessels of God from which His mighty power flows. This is why God sends His servants on a mission to break into the minds of men with His word, His marvelous truth, so all might know from God's word how wonderfully powerful He, the Word, is.
And His word is spirit and it is life. So not by power might, but by my spirit, my word, saith the Lord. Then what?
And how puny and evil the devil and his evil words and spirits are. At this point, they can make a decision as to whether they want to repent of their sins so they might be saved, receive eternal life, and spend eternity in heaven, or whether they want to reject God's light, remain blinded, and at the end spend eternity in the lake of fire. God, through us, is waging war against the multitude of rebellious thoughts and imaginations which are already stored in the unregenerated minds of unsaved men. The devil feverishly attempts to stop this process. He knows well that the Word of God is the Spirit of God, the life of God, the mind of God, and the power of God, that which frees the mind and entire spirit of man from the devil. Before we are saved, before we have received God's thoughts as being the truth, the Bible states, quote, "The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light, the truth of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them," unquote.
And how does he blind the minds? With your, by power, with some temporal power, by money, and like you're a big shot, and people just kissing up to you and making you feel like a big shot. I had people come up to me before I was saved because I made so much money. They say, "Are you the Naz?" And I'd say, "No, I'm not the Naz." Yeah, I said, "I don't even know what you're talking about, Danaeus. I didn't know anything about that." Okay, and so, no, I wasn't anything like that. And a lot of people do think they're God or Jesus. And you need to check you into a rehabilitation center someplace and make a few wallets, string a few beads, and do some finger painting if you think you're God or Jesus. Okay, because when you stand up in front of God, and he's casting your soul down into hell, you're not going to be saying, "I'm God." Forget that. You won't do that, friend. Okay, then what?
That was 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. This passage, like 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5 above, tells us that Satan holds the mind of men and is both desperately and wrathfully fighting to keep his hold on them by keeping them blind. Many actually think themselves to be wise when they bring arguments against the gospel of God's truth, the Word. Others may think that some people don't believe God because they are not very bright or are dull in understanding spiritual matters. However, the truth of the matter is that they are just spiritually blind.
Right. Praise the Lord. Keep going.
In every case, the truth from God's Word states, the true cause is that the eyes of men's minds have been blinded by the devil's organized system of fallacy with his lies and his propaganda.
All right, I see that our time is up again. Oh, I just wish we could just go on forever, you know, because I've got so much to say to people regarding how to enter into the kingdom of heaven, but time doesn't allow. But we'll continue on with part three of the secret of how to defend your mind. I thought we'd get over that with this part two, but I see we just have a little bit left, and then we'll get into receiving, accepting, or receiving the discipline of the Holy Spirit on the next tape. So make sure you tune in tomorrow, because we'll probably be getting into that. Very important of showing you how to accept or receive the power of the discipline of the Holy Spirit. Until then, this is Pastor, World Pastor Tony Alamo, saying God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.